Welcome to this podcast about eating together. This podcast is for parents and carers of primary school age children. Today we're talking about food, cooking and mealtimes, and how adults can help children to become lifelong food explorers.
Before we begin, we'd like to acknowledge that we are recording this podcast on the lands of the Wurundjeri people and pay our respects to elders past and present. Hi, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Laura. We're both population health officers with the EACH Prevention and Population Health team. We both have postgraduate university qualifications in nutrition and extensive experience supporting children and families to find joy in eating well. This discussion is based on current research and our experience and observations working in this area. In this session, we talk about family meal times and getting children involved in the kitchen. Why are we talking about this, Rachel?
We want our children to grow up to be the best versions of themselves. These days, there's so many pressures from work to school and everything in between that opportunities to eat together can be sidelined due to a whole range of reasons, including work, after-school activities, family members being hungry at different times, picky eaters, and the amount of time that children can sit at the table. It may be challenging for families to sit down together. So in this podcast, we acknowledge the reality of these challenges and provide some simple ways to make family meal times and cooking together work. So Laura, let's start by talking about family meal times.
Well, firstly, I think it's important for us to acknowledge that family meals look different for every family. Some families might eat together daily, and for some families, they may only eat together on special occasions, such as birthdays and cultural celebrations. We would consider it to be a family meal time when two or more family members gather to share a meal where an adult's present. Rachel, can you touch on some of the benefits of family meal times for children?
Yeah, so despite some of the many challenges that families face today, shared meal times can be a great time to come together. It's often an opportunity to have connected conversations, expose family members to a variety of foods while also role modelling things such as using cutlery and table manners, and also encourages a greater acceptance of more foods over time.
And mealtimes can also help with creating family expectations, setting boundaries, and it can provide a sense of stability for children as well.
So there's lots of benefits, and we're starting to see those reflected in the updated dietary guidelines from around the world, which reinforce the benefits of eating together. They've drawn on the latest evidence that eating with others also encourages social connection. So the research also shows us that when children and teenagers regularly eat family meal times together, they have better well-being, do better at school, and eat a more varied diet. Giving children age-appropriate tasks around family meal times also encourages independence and fosters a sense of accomplishment while also teaching children the importance of teamwork.
Those sound like simple things, but they do promote a shared sense of achievement and they allow families time to do other things together. One of the things that supports successful family meal times is having roles and responsibilities around food and eating. Alan Satter is an American dietitian who talks about the division of responsibility in the adult and child feeding relationship. She talks about raising competent eaters and that both the adult and the child have different responsibilities in the feeding relationship. So the adult's role involves taking leadership around the what, when, and where of feeding. And to make this work well, the key is for adults to take the lead on this by serving at least one food that the child is comfortable eating, together with the other family foods. And the child's role is to decide how much to eat and whether to eat what the adult provides, remembering that there will be at least one familiar food that they're comfortable eating.
Yeah, so what you're saying is when adults provide the structure, it can help reduce some of the aspects of picky eating. And it can also help children to eat the right amount of food for them by allowing them to listen to their body.
Yeah, exactly. So we've spoken about the roles at mealtimes. Rachel, can you talk more about how family mealtimes leads to the benefits you mentioned earlier?
Yeah. So before we begin, I guess it's important to recap that mealtimes are going to look different for each family, depending on their routines. For example, some families may sit together for only weekend breakfasts, while other families may eat their evening meals together daily. Whatever it looks like for each family, the protective factor that comes from eating family meal times is in the regularity in which the family meal times occur And what happens at the dinner table?
Yeah, and it's important to highlight as well that families do evolve over time. So shared mealtimes with a family of toddlers is going to look different to when they start school or become teenagers. Some families might allow their younger children to leave the table when they've finished their meal, while other families may like everyone to sit at the table until everyone is finished. And as families grow up, they may alter their approach and encourage all family members to sit at the table until everyone's finished eating. As children become older, they can also take on more roles around mealtimes, such as preparing the vegetables, setting the table, serving up the food, or cleaning up.
Yeah, so no two families are going to function in the same way. Every family is going to have a different philosophy or approach to mealtimes, and this will change over time, and certainly that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Rachel, can you suggest some strategies to help families who would like to encourage their children to sit at the table to eat their meals?
Yeah, so expectations around mealtimes should and do vary depending on the child's age and developmental milestones. A younger child will usually sit at the table for 5 to 10 minutes, while older children, 20 to 30 minutes is usually enough time for them to eat their meal. Children usually don't eat too much after this time. So given the short time that we have to engage and role model with our children, mealtime distractions such as screens and devices can get in the way of children reading their hunger cues as well as their fullness cues. Seating can also contribute to a supportive meal environment. Children need proper trunk support and should be sitting with their hips, knees, and ankles all bent at 90 degrees. So, Laura, if younger children are at the table for 5 to 10 minutes, what can families do to ensure that their child eats enough for their body?
Yeah, that's a concern that many parents and carers share. Children thrive when they know what to expect, and this includes eating occasions. So structured meal and snack time routines allows for children to become hungry before a meal and then satisfied after a meal. Providing younger children with the opportunity to eat every 2 to 3 hours allows them to tune into their hunger and fullness cues, and therefore they'll be more interested in the food served at mealtimes. It is normal that children won't eat the same amount day to day. So setting up a routine around meal and snack time kind of reassures them that they can stop eating when they feel like it, as they know another meal or snack will follow soon. Rachel, do you have any tips for families who would like to start eating together?
Yeah, so we've mentioned that this is going to look different for every family. Starting small can always help if a family hasn't been eating together, such as making time to eat breakfast perhaps together one day over the weekend. Over time, families may build on this and add more family meal times into their week. We know that engaging children in the planning process can help with success and keeping the routine going. Inviting children to decide on the menu, perhaps involving them to help prepare the meal, or setting the table are some of the fun ways we can do this.
And just to add to that, family conversation is a really great way to create a relaxed, no pressure mealtime environment. Another role for children might be to start the conversation on a topic that they choose. And you might pass the responsibility for that onto a different family member at each meal. Some example questions might include, what made you smile today? Or if you could have one superpower, what would it be? Or it might be, what is your favourite song? Can you sing it?
They sound like fun.
So these are just some examples. And the key is to keep it really lighthearted. There's lots of ideas online if you like the sound of this. And you can also buy a set of conversation cards which have more ideas on it if you want to try that out. We've spoken about mealtimes and getting kids involved. Could you just explain why that's important?
So children have a growth mindset and are often curious and enthusiastic about the world around them. Research shows us that children who are involved in mealtimes are often more adventurous eaters. It helps with their learning and development, as well as their health and well-being. It also supports their social and emotional development through learning how to respond to social situations around eating and mealtimes. So positive interactions around food creates a feeling of inclusion and can strengthen their sense of identity around their family's food culture. So Laura, what are some of the benefits of getting children involved in the kitchen?
Well, on the surface, cooking might be seen for what it is, providing food to eat a meal or a snack. But the benefits to involving children in meal preparation extend well beyond the food and the meal itself. So starting children young with cooking helps them develop skills that they'll take into adult life, and it can facilitate a lifelong interest in food and cooking. Having basic cooking skills essentially makes it easier to eat well throughout life. It also exposes children to different foods by using their senses during cooking. And the research shows us that this can lead to children becoming more adventurous eaters.
Yeah, and there's also the immediate benefits to involving children in cooking, from measuring ingredients to adapting recipes. Cooking provides children with an interactive way to apply maths concepts. Children's fine motor skills are also practiced through these activities, such as stirring, pouring, gripping, peeling, and many other cooking skills. So teaching children age-appropriate cooking skills and then allowing them to practice it teaches them about safety in the kitchen and also allows them to take some responsibility and ownership of the task.
Yeah, and look, most importantly, food is about culture and connection. So being able to share traditional ways of preparing food allows children to connect with their culture and helps to strengthen their sense of identity as well. Can you talk, Rachel, about what cooking skills are appropriate at different ages?
Yeah, so where your child is at in their development, as well as how involved they already are in the kitchen, is really going to determine what cooking activities are acceptable for them. The skills that we are going to talk about are as a guide only and certainly not a comprehensive list. So for children in early primary school who are aged generally between 5 to 7 years, helping with activities such as sprinkling and rubbing in, dipping, spreading, greasing, sieving, and squeezing are all great skills to help with their motor skills.
Mm. And looking at slightly older children, so middle primary school, around the ages of 7 to 9 years, activities for them could include draining, pouring, weighing, and measuring, shaking liquids in containers, and crushing and pounding, and they're all great ways to get them involved.
Yeah, and as a child gets older and moves into upper primary school and are generally aged 9 and over, under adult supervision, they can start using cooking utensils such as peelers, can openers, weighing food on the scales, stirring, and mixing over heat, as well as skewering. We also have a wonderful resource for this, which we will link in the show notes, that is a useful guide. So, Laura, besides the cooking skills by age resource, are there any other resources that you can recommend?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Raising Children's Network has a great range of information relating to this topic. There's also a really good article from Good Start Early Learning called How We Can Encourage Our Children to Become Happy, Healthy, Adventurous Eaters with a Positive Relationship with Food and Mealtimes. And Kids Eat in Colour is a fantastic resource created by a dietitian. They have a fact sheet regarding supportive language to discuss your food and mealtime decisions with children. Also, don't forget your local library or your school library to check out age-appropriate cookbooks for children.
Mm, all good resources. So if you have any comments about this podcast or would like to suggest a topic for a future podcast, please get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. The best way to reach us is at prevention@each.com.au. Thanks for listening today.